everyone, and welcome to this podcast from Lighthouse Church Ireland. Fáilteachadh podcast does chuck solicit you. We would love to hear from you. To contact us, please go to our website, lighthousechurch.ie, and click on Next Steps. We hope you enjoy this message today.
Of course, right now we are in the middle of a series called Follow. And the question has been quite simple. We've been asking is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it look like to follow Jesus? So every week we've been asking a question. In week one we asked, will you follow? And this is based off the story of Jesus calling his first disciples as he asked them to follow him. Then week two is, where do we go now? So once we start following Jesus, what's the trajectory? What's the plan? Where are we going? Do we have an idea? And week three is, what are you afraid of? What are some of the things that are withholding you, that are stopping you or preventing you from following Jesus? And last week, what's the cost? What's the cost to following Jesus? Because everything that we do regarding following Jesus has a cost, but following Jesus always outweighs the cost. So the question I want to ask this week is this one. What should I wear? What should I wear? And I'm not asking for advice on a wardrobe update, okay? I don't have a wife for that. But the question I'm asking is, what should Christians wear? And in a moment, that question will make a lot more sense in a moment. But I want to say this. You can tell who someone is following by what they wear. You can tell by anyone who walks down the street, if they're wearing a certain jersey, if they're wearing a certain attire, you can kind of guess who they're following by what they wear. So I have some photos to show you, and I want to play a little game. If you can guess who these people are following by what they wear. So the first photo is this. This guy. Look at this handsome chap. He is wearing a jersey. Can you guess who is he following? Yes. The Irish rugby team, and in case you don't know, excuse me, that's me when I was 14, representing my country by being a great fan and watching them play rugby. But his next group of guys, who do you think they follow? Come on, can you guess? Me, that's right, these boys, hardcore Meade football fans. And okay, for those who are part of our Dublin location, who are these guys following? I already said it, that's right, our Dublin football team. Some would say the best football team in Ireland, which I don't know if I can agree, but they have all the championships. So anyway, what about this person here? This chap, who's he following? A New Zealand rugby team, the second best rugby team, of course, after Ireland. And then let's look at the worst football team in the Premier League. Yep, yep. Who are they following? Manchester United. So you can nearly guess, you can know who they are following by what they wear. Let's bring the game to another level. I think all of you would have got the first ones quite easy, but let's see, can you guess who these people are following? Who are these people following? Allah. They're following Allah. So these are Muslims and they are following Allah. What about these crew? This crew here, who are they following? Can you guess? Well, these are Buddhists, and this is the Buddhism religion, and they're actually following the path of enlightenment. They're not necessarily following a god, but they're following a path of enlightenment. What about this crew here? Who are they following? Right, they're Hindus. And Hindus is a polytheistic religion. They believe in many gods, so they're following many, many gods. But you know by what they're wearing that they're Hindus. And finally, can you guess who this person is following? Can you guess? That's right. That's a colander, a pasta strainer on this man's head. But in case you didn't know, that in certain countries in the world, pastafarianism is a religion. Pastafarians is actually a religion, people. It's true. And their god, who they follow, apparently is called the Flying Spaghetti Monster. So pastafarians believe in a god and they follow him, and he's called a Flying Spaghetti Monster. Well done if you got all those answers correctly. And if you missed that last one, don't worry, because I had to figure out and study what that's about. But most religions and beliefs encourage their followers to wear some sort of attire or dress code that enables them to stand out. So if we have, let's say, crowds of people, and you have people wearing certain sports jerseys or certain t-shirts, or if they're a certain religion, you can somewhat identify who they are following by what they are wearing and who they're supporting by what they are wearing. So we can see that. But when it comes to Christianity, the question I want to ask us today is, what's our external attire? What's the things that we should wear that separate us from that crowd? What's our jersey to show that we follow Jesus? What's the one thing that separates us from every other thing? What should Christians wear? What should Christians wear? And this is what Christians shouldn't wear. We shouldn't wear this, okay? Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's out of context. You don't want to be this Christian hippies where God loves us no matter what happens. We can do all the things you want in the world. There's no consequences. God will love us. Well, yes, God loves us. Yes, God loves the world. But also, God wants us to live a life that pleases him. That is different. So we can't just be these kind of people here who pretend everything's okay and that there's no consequences to decisions that we make in life. But also, on the other side, we shouldn't be this. We shouldn't be these Bible-bashing, angry Christians who are telling the world that God hates you, you're not loved, and because of your lifestyle, God hates you, which is not true either. So if we're not to wear this and not to wear that, then what should we wear? What's the one thing that separates Jesus followers from every other thing? What's the one thing that separates Jesus followers from every other thing? So I want to turn to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. So John is the fourth gospel in the New Testament, written by the Apostle John, one of Jesus' closest followers, and the one whom Jesus loved dearly. And this is John writing the account of Jesus as he's with his disciples, just after washing their feet. Jesus is now saying, "Listen up, I will be going somewhere and you cannot come yet. But as I leave, it's imperative that you listen and live out this command, this new command," okay? So this is Jesus talking in John 13, verse 34, 35. Says this, A new command I give you. Now, the one thing you need to know about the Jewish religion, the Jewish religion has 613 commandments. The Jewish religion has 613 commandments. And here comes Jesus on the scene saying, "Hey, excuse me, I'm giving you a new command." And I can imagine the disciples saying, "Ah, no, come on. There's a whole reason why we're following you. We were tired of this religion stuff. We want to break free and be in relationship," right? She's saying, "A new command I give you." But actually, what's happening here, this is not a new command. This is not something they haven't heard before. They have heard this loads of times through their own scriptures and their own teachings. But the reason why it's new, because Jesus is repackaging it in a way. He has demonstrated it in a way that he said, this is what it means to live out this command. Actually, this is the most powerful command. This is the one thing I want you to really work on and focus on as I leave you. So Jesus is saying, this is a new command. Okay, so what is this command? It's to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new command, and this is it. I want you to love one another, but don't just love those who you like. Come on. It's always easy to love people you like. It's very, very easy, okay? But Jesus said, you have to love one another, love all people as I have loved you. So you must love one another. So you must love one another. So Jesus is giving the most powerful command. He's saying to his disciples, listen, you are to love people as I have loved you. And remember, just before this, Jesus was on his feet, washing their feet. The Son of God. He knew God had given him all authority on earth and on heaven. He knew what God had put in front of him, but still got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. And here he is getting up again. And here you see Jesus get up again and say, okay, after washing your feet, I give you a command. So Jesus has already demonstrated what it means to serve and love people. He's saying, you are to do the same. You are to copy me and how I have loved you. See, he said, by this, verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Everyone will know that you are a follower of me if you love one another. Jesus is saying, by doing this very thing, which is loving people, everyone, not some, not a few, everyone will know that you follow me. The thing that should distinguish us as Christ followers is by how we love and treat people. You see, God's love is a different love to the world's love. See, God's love is unconditional. It's not selfish, but selfless. And we see that through Jesus as he went to the cross and as he died selflessly for us, as he conquered death and sin and rose again and gave us an opportunity to be in relationship with the Father. But the world's love is conditional. It's often selfish. It's often, well, I will love you in result of something. I will care for you in result of getting something in return. But Jesus is saying the thing that separates us as Christ followers is how we love. It's a different kind of love. And it should distinguish us. It should set us apart. And people should be able to identify you and call you my disciples because of your actions and because of how you treat people. See, the reality is God loves people. God loves you. God cares about people and God cares about you. So we should love people and we should care about people. It's in our actions, in our motives and our thoughts that separate us and make us stand out. Again, it's in our actions, our motives and our thoughts that separate us and make us stand out. Our love is different from the world's love, like I said, and Jesus is saying, it's by your love for one another that people will know you are my disciples. It's not just attending church. It's not just having all the knowledge biblically and knowing all the books and quoting all the scriptures. It's not just being successful and you know, sharing scriptures online and having a great Instagram account and having it well with your family and appearing to be good Christian. These things are good. It's good to go to church. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to witness. It's good to be able to live a life that pleases God. But the reality is, if you don't love people, they will never know who you're following. Going to church and having all the knowledge biblically will not reveal to people who you follow. Actually, how you love and how you treat people in your actions really reveal who you are following. This is from the mouth of Jesus. He is saying, if you want to make a difference, if you want to step up and stand out and be somebody and not blend in and be a nobody, you have to love. You're going to be different. That's how people will know you are my disciples. So summarize, Jesus is saying, we're to love one another as he has loved us. We must love one another. It's by this, it's by loving people, by loving one another, people will know that we are followers of Jesus. This is the thing that separates us from every other thing, is our love for people. So if how we love people separates us, then what does that look like? So Jesus, if how we love people then does distinguish us from everyone else, does separate us, then what does that look like? I actually believe the Apostle Paul gives us a great answer. And what does it mean to love people practically? So we're going to look at Colossians 3, 12 and 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossus. And he is basically giving them like a mandate and an instruction. What does it mean to live a life, a new life as Christians? What does it mean to live a life that is effective, that people will see there's something different? So we see here, Paul is talking to the church. He's instructing the church. So he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I love this. Paul is saying from the very get-go, therefore, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Paul is saying, listen, already from the very get-go, the moment you follow Jesus, you're different. You're called to be different. You're not supposed to blend in. It's no undercover secret agents in Christianity. We're all called to step out and you know, be different. Paul is saying you're already chosen by God, and you're dearly loved, and you're holy. And that word holy means set apart. So again, you're set apart. You're different. You're dearly loved. So God has loved you. So here's what you're supposed to do. You're fine. God has loved you. He's chosen you. He set you apart. So now you go do likewise. Now you go and live a life that would love people, that would make a difference. And he says, clothe yourself. And I love the picture that Paul is painting here is one of clothing. Because every day we wake up, we put on clothes. Well, I hope so, okay? I don't want to see you walking around town with no clothes on. That's weird. But every day, naturally, we get up every morning, we brush our teeth, we get a shower probably, and we put on clothes. We've been doing it for so long, it happens naturally. I think the point that Paul's trying to make, like I can only assume, is, as he says, clothe ourselves, that at first, loving people God's way and according to God's standards doesn't come naturally to us because we're humans. We have our old tendencies. We have our flesh. It doesn't come natural, but it can be possible. I say it again. Loving people according to God's standards and the way that God loves us doesn't come natural at the beginning, but I do believe it is possible. Just like putting on a t-shirt, just like putting on clothes, after a while, we just do it so natural. And what would that look like for your own life, for your family, for your neighborhood, for your school, your work? You would love people like God naturally. So Paul says, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So Paul's given five virtues. Five ways in how we can love people. Five ways that we can live by in impacting people. And the first one, as I said, was compassion. I want to kind of break down these virtues. It's like one sentence descriptions that can kind of help us understand what does it mean to have compassion? Well, compassion, the opposite of compassion, number one, is indifference. So what Paul's saying, we're to be compassionate. But the opposite of compassion is indifference. So how do you know if you have compassion or not? Well, if you're indifferent to certain things. And the breakdown of what compassion means is we are to feel deeply for people. We are to feel deeply for people. As Christ followers, as we pray and seek God, Lord, give us a heart for our towns, a heart for our cities, a heart for our nation, a heart for this world, a heart for social justice, against poverty, against child abuse, against sex trafficking, against world, all these things. As we pray, our hearts will begin to break. As we are in proximity with God, our hearts will reflect his heart because his heart breaks. So we even see it with Jesus. Whenever he walked on the scene and there was such brokenness and despair, his heart broke. It broke for the people because they were lost. And for us as Christians, our hearts should break for what's happening right on our doorstep. Our hearts should break for people who are lost spiritually. Our hearts should break for our loved ones who are not walking with Jesus. Our hearts should break when we see things happen in the world that's just sad and tragic. That doesn't mean we lack hope. It's a difference. But we have compassion because we want to deeply feel. Because it's from that compassion we can do something, that we can make a difference. And over the years, we've seen institutions like hospitals and schools being birthed because Christians had compassion on people who were sick and needed a place of healing, had compassion on people who were uneducated and needed to be educated. It's out of compassion comes one of the greatest moves of God. We have to have compassion. We have to feel for people. And let me just say, if you struggle with that, just ask God. God, give me a heart to feel for people. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to be numb to what's happened. Lord, give me a heart, Lord, to feel for people. That's what it means to put on compassion, is that we feel deeply for people. Number two, Paul says, is kindness. Another virtue we put on is to be kind. Kindness. No one likes mean people. That's the opposite of kindness. No one wants to be around a mean person. Come on, we all know that. Everyone loves a kind person. They're just so attractive. They're so different. And the working definition for kindness is loaning what you have. Kindness and generosity are very close. I think it's in our kindness that we are selfless in our words, in our time, in our talent, in our treasures, because we're different, we're kind. We understand that, listen, we want to be able to serve people. We want to be able to help people. So Paul is saying that we are to be kind to people, even if they don't deserve it. Even though they may not be kind to us, we are to be kind to people and we're to loan what we have. And to be honest, guys, to be very honest, you may think you're in a bad situation, but there is always someone worse off than you. There's always someone who needs a little bit more than you do. And you may think, I don't have all the money. I don't have all the time. I don't have all the talent, but you have something to give. You in some way, you can be kind to someone today. In some way or shape or form, you can change someone's life by showing a little kindness and be able to bless them with your generosity. The third virtue is humility. And the opposite of humility is pride. Again, we all know we don't like people who are prideful or arrogant, especially us as Irish people. We detest prideful people, arrogant people. We have something called a tall poppy syndrome. When someone's like, they're just getting above themselves. Like, you know, look at this fella getting ahead of himself. We cut them down and go, who do you think you are? Which often can be a negative thing as well, because we want people to succeed. But this is just part of our culture often. And, you know, I think we look at it differently, that we shouldn't cut people down because they're prideful. Actually, it's up to us to live a life in humility. And the working definition of humility is knowing you're the same. Knowing you're the same. And often we can judge people depending on their social class, depending on the colour of their skin or where they live or what they wear or what they drive or how they talk or, you know, whatever. And we're not called to judge people. We're not called to treat people any less than we are. We're called to be able to treat people equally, all people equally. And to be honest, that's why in humility, knowing that we're all the same, it helps us live a humble life, because we know we're all the same. We're all God's children. God's created all of us, and God loves all of us the same, equally. And every person that we encounter is created by God, loved by God. God has knitted them and formed them in their mother's wombs and given them a plan and a purpose on this earth. And maybe some of them may not be living out their purpose, but God still loves them. So they put on the virtue of humility to know that we are the same. We are the same. And when we know we're the same, it's somewhat easier to love people. And then the fourth one is gentleness. The fourth virtue is gentleness. And the opposite of being gentle is being brutal. And sometimes, guys, it's not, when I say brutal, I don't mean brutal physically, okay? There are some people who are just brutal physically, and that's just sad, and that's horrible, okay? But sometimes we can be brutal with our words. We can be brutal with our thoughts. That we can already tear people down in our minds and in our words. And the working definition for gentleness is responding to someone's level of strength. And often we find it hard to be able to respond to someone else's level of strength because of brutality, because of the thoughts we have and the words that we say. So it takes some sensitivity, some awareness to know, man, with this person, I have to be so gentle. Not because they're any less than you, but because they're going on a different journey. Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone's on a different journey, okay? And it's up to you, and by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and having some discernment, to know, I need to be gentle. I need to be able to respond to someone's level of strength. How do I do that? Well, don't be brutal, okay? Be careful what you think. Be careful with what you say, because those things hurt. Words hurt. Words cut people in half. Words can affect someone for their entire life. People who are in their 60s and 70s have probably broken bones, have been in accidents, but have forgotten. But remember a bad word spoken over them when they were 7, and it has affected their whole life. So as Christians, let's not be on the wrong side of the fence when it comes to saying things negatively that can harm someone. Let's build them up. Let's be gentle. Let's respond to their level of strength. And finally, the last virtue that Paul is saying is patience. Of course, the opposite of patience is impatience. Some of us here just need to slow down. Some of you are just on this journey where you're going 110 miles per hour. But the reality is you can go 110 miles per hour all you want. But let me just say, you'll be there and you'll end up by yourself. Okay, that's a lonely place, okay? But how about you just slow down for other people? Because the reality is we're all going to end up there sometime. But would you not rather end up there with some people rather than nobody? So today, maybe for you, is that you have to learn to be patient with a spouse, with your kids, with your siblings, with your parents, with your colleagues, you know, with your friends. Just learn to be patient and stop with the rush. Stop with constantly trying to get to the next place and learn that, hey, it's in the moments of just being patient and walking with people in their journey and staying by their side and just being part of the process. It's so beautiful. We live in a world that's so crazy. We live in a world where people are left behind so easily. And let's just say, can we just be different as Christ followers? Yes, we're focused. We have vision. We have a plan. But people are not a means to our end. The people are the reason why we do what we do. They are everything that we do. We're to be with them on this journey. That's why God has put us on this earth, to be witnesses, to be different, to love people. That's why we're here. So as you are on your journey, try to get there by yourself, you know, and say, I got there. Slow down and wait for other people and get there. That's why I love the church. The church is a great place for this, that we have people coming from every background, different walks of life, you know, come in with different stories. And it's a place where we all come together and go on this journey of figure out who Jesus is and what does it mean to have a purpose and what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to love one another? What does that look like? That's why the church is the great place for that. And Paul's going to say, bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Paul saying, bear with each other, because Paul knows it's not easy. Again, it's not natural. Remember to that. It's not natural to love people the way God has called us to love people because of the world we live in. But that image of bearing, like, come on, just work hard with these virtues. Come on, every day you put on your t-shirt, every day you put on your clothes, it's an action. Just, come on, work hard to make sure you're trying your best to uphold these things. He says then, forgive one another. If you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I believe, because I've experienced it. Unforgiveness can be the biggest stumbling block to loving people. I'll say it again. Unforgiveness can be the biggest stumbling block to loving people. Some of us are gripped by unforgiveness so much that it's near impossible to love people. Like I said at the beginning, it's easy to love people we like because they're easy. They don't challenge us. They don't bother us. But it's those who we don't like. It's our enemies, if you want to put it that way. It's those who we struggle to be around. It's those who we don't click and connect with. It's those who we don't see eye to eye with. It's those who have hurt us. Or we've hurt them or whatever. They were called to love all people. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, can I please encourage you to go and bring it before God? Because I know it's not God's will you'd have that in your heart. I know it's not God's will that you would be festered with just these emotions of bitterness and unforgiveness that is preventing you from loving people like God would have you love people. See, forgiven people forgive people. Paul said, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember, Jesus has forgiven you of all your sins in the past, all your sins in the present, and all the sins in the future. He's forgiven your debt completely. Completely. There's no hidden account that's racking up debt of your sin. Jesus has forgiven you completely. So forgiven people forgive people. Jesus has forgiven you for everything, and he wants us to do the same. And Paul says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. So you imagine your virtues are a t-shirt, it's a hoodie, it's your, you know, your trousers, and it's your shoes. And the last thing, the last piece of clothing that will keep all these virtues together, like a big jacket, is love. Is love. So don't forget every day to put on the jacket of love. Don't forget every day to wear love, because it's in this that binds us together. It's in this that unifies us as a church. It's in our love that makes us stand out and be different from the world. It's in our actions. It's in our motives and our thoughts and how we love and treat people that separates us from everyone else. Where people can look and go, there's something different about these people. That church up there on that road, there's something different. But man, they're so nice. They're so compassionate. They're so kind. They're so gentle. They're so humble. You know, they're so patient. There's some of these Christians that just makes you think, wow, what is about them? That's the power of living differently. That's the one thing that separates us from every other thing. So the main thing, like I said, above all other things, that we're to wear love. That's it. That's it. And every day we have to make that daily decision, that daily choice, that today, Lord, give me the strength that I need, the grace that I need, the power that I need to love people like you love me. See, love is not an emotion. It's not something that comes and goes. It's not a feeling, okay? Love is an action. It's supposed to be constant no matter what. No matter what. And again, look at Jesus and his disciples and how they got it wrong so many times. Even the moment when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, being murdered, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That the love of Jesus is exuding in that moment, because he's saying, even as they murder me, I love them. I love them. I love them. Because Jesus said, this is an action. I am taking this point and dying this cross because I love these people. And because of that, we are here today as Christ followers. So my main point for today's message, guys, is this. Following Jesus is not a label. Not a label. That's something we say. It's not just a religion, like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. It's not just some caption on Instagram or some bio on a website. Following Jesus is not a label. It's a lifestyle. Following Jesus is not a label. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday working lifestyle. It's something that we have to do every day. And there are days where we won't get it right. There are days where we struggle because it's a lifestyle. We need to know it's a journey. It's a journey that we're all on that will help us stand out and that will separate us from other things, that will show to others that we're followers of Jesus. Loving people is not an option. It's an obligation for us. We're called to love people. Why? Because we are loved by God. Like I said, it's not about good morals and biblical knowledge and just attending church. That's not what, you know, is achieved. That's not what help people know that we are following Jesus. It's actually by how we love. It's in our actions that will show people that we're following Jesus. It's loving people no matter what. If you're watching today and you're not a Christ follower and you're thinking, gosh, you know, man, like I should jump on this because, you know, I want to experience the love of God. God loves you too, yes. He loves you too. He's got a plan and purpose for your life. And very simply, all you have to do is just say, Lord, I want to follow you. I give my life to you. I want to receive your love. And then he will give you all that you need to love people. If you're a Christ follower today, maybe you've been on this journey a while and maybe you've just lost that drive, and maybe you have become a little bit indifferent or even apathetic towards certain people and certain things with the church. I don't know. I pray, and I hope you pray too, that God would rejuvenate you, reignite something in your life that make you passionate for people again, that you would see people as God sees people, his children, that we would know God has called us here to reach them and stand out and be different and tell them that God's got a plan for their life. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what we wear. We wear love. We wear love. Every day it's a choice. And it may not be natural at first, but it can become possible if we do it every single day. Come back next week as you have Pastor Jamie finishing off our series. The question he'll be asking is, what do you want?
Thank you for listening, Gaurav Mila Mahakwith. We hope you found this content inspiring and helpful. If you have a question or would like to comment, simply email us at info@lighthousechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you.